Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the Matthew Gospel, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Really enjoyed the music tonight. Always enjoyed the music, but tonight the music was really good. The choir special, "To See as God Sees." That's our choir song for the year. You've probably heard it a few times this year to go along with our theme, knowing and understanding the will of God is. We need to see the way that God sees. And the only way he can help us do that, the enlightening of our eyes that talked about what the scriptures does in the scripture song, but also we talked about this morning in Sunday school and the book of Ezra as we're looking at that revival praying. So tonight's message kind of goes off from this morning a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit, to help us understand. This morning, if you were not here, I know some were in the back, and we talked about seeking God. And talked about the promises attached to seeking God. Also talked about the way we're supposed to seek God. No, God is not lost, but many times we lose sight of him. And we need to seek to be in his presence. Tonight, we're going to look at something, and I've been looking at this in Matthew chapter 6 because it's once again dealing with the heart. It's talking about the secret places. It's talking about what God sees and what God blesses and what God rewards. And I've been doing reading, been studying, been listening to different sermons, trying to get to the spot where seeking the Lord in a way that God's going to bless. We talked about this morning, we mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' first message that we know of. Wonderful passage. And what it does, it takes apart worrying as much about the outside and talks about the inside. And in Matthew chapter number 6, it talks about some different spiritual disciplines. It talks about giving. It talks about praying. It talks about fasting. But it talks about how God sees in secret and he rewards openly. And so tonight, I'd like to look at this a little while. God sees what happens in secret. I think it's one of the most encouraging, convicting things to know that God sees everything we do. So how can something be encouraging and convicting? Number one, it's encouraging because he sees what we're going through. The omnipresence of God, he's everywhere, but he sees everything that's happening in our life. He sees the struggle. He sees the need. He sees the issue. He sees the problem. He sees the hurts. He sees the pains. He sees the victories. He sees everything that you're experiencing. That's an encouragement. I don't know about you. You might be thinking, well, God's messing up. He's not messing up. He's never done wrong. He never will. But then it's also convicting because this is how most people use it. He sees all the bad stuff you do too. He sees it when you give that dirty look. He sees the outward appearances of things that you do when you get angry or outburst. He knows all the things you've ever done. But he even takes it a step farther. He knows the inside too. The inside is going to flow out to the outside. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And I'm thankful for that because many times preachers, and they're good at this because they're trying to get conviction. They're trying to get people, hey, do what's right, do what's right. You know, he's beholding all the bad stuff you're doing. That is true. And if we care about God and we care about it, we are going to say, you know, God's watching. I need to make sure. Walked into one of the Sunday school classrooms this morning, and they had little ears and little eyes, and it's that song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see." You know, the Father up above is looking down in love, but be careful. But then he also sees the good, and I think sometimes we miss that. We get discouraged because we feel like nobody's watching. And once again, if we're doing it for other people, that's what this passage talks about. It's not being the outward that God's going to bless. It's the inward that he sees. That's what he rewards. A reward of them that diligently seek him. So you think about it, Proverbs 15:3, beholding the evil and the good. And I'm not trying to add to scripture. So that, please don't do that, because I know how many of us feel about the King James Version and not adding to scripture and taking away. But beholding the evil and the good, and I want you to say, in the secret place also. So it's saying that not only is it considering it the outwards, he also sees the good and the bad in the secret place. Job 42:2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. It is foolish to think we can get away from the presence of God. Can you imagine the Garden of Eden? God places Adam and Eve in the garden. And I don't know about you, they talked about how they walked with him in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine each and every day when God was coming to meet with them, they would look forward to it and they would run to it, I'm sure, and they would walk with God. I mean, he is in the presence of God. And then they do something wrong. What do they do? It says in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. I always think about that, and I always think about that when someone's playing hide-and-go-seek and you play with, like, maybe a 2-year-old or 3-year-old, and they're out there and they're hiding. And, you know, they're hiding behind, like, a little stick. And they're there, it's outside, and you got this really, really small tree, and their body's coming on one side, body's showing on the other side, and they're like giggling and laughing because they really think that you can't see them. But you can see them because of the fact that there's no way they're going to be able to hide from you because they don't understand that. And even 100 times more, there's no way we're going to get out of the presence of God. It says that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord in Jonah chapter number 1. It says it twice because he told the mariners that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. He sees it all. So tonight I want this to be encouraging. I also want this to be convicting because of the fact that I want God's blessings. I think we all desire that. I think we all want God's blessings on our life and God's blessings on our church and God's blessings on our family, God's blessings on our nation, God's blessing on the things that we do. But where he rewards and where he blesses, he says here, is those things that we do in private. Things that we do in private, that's what he sees. And that's what he rewards openly. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read some of these verses, and we're going to look at this. And don't know exactly where it's going to go or how it's going to go, but there's some things here I want you to see. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Don't get me wrong, when we give because the Lord commands, but we also want the Lord to bless, and we want the Lord's blessing and rewards on our lives. And once again, that's not always monetarily, but we don't want to feel like we're giving and giving and giving and the Lord not be pleased with it. We want God. We want his reward. We're seeking after God like we talked about this morning. And then they give some instruction. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Man may praise you. That is no real reward. Because when you stop doing the things that impress them, no longer do they praise you, they turn back on you. You have a God that you serve that says he's willing to reward, he's willing to be found of those that seek after him. Verse number 3, but when thou doest alms or dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So we see here two spots, maybe in secret. And at the end, the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee open. You would think it's seeth in secret. God sees what we're doing. Verse number 5, it goes from the discipline of our spiritual giving to our spiritual praying. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father. And look at what it says again, which in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, we can understand why he says in verse number 4 that he is seeing what is being given because that is a physical thing. But wouldn't you think it sound better that it would be that he would hear those things that are prayers? look what it says there. He says, he's talking about praying. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth. Now, we believe the Bible. We believe the inspiration of the Word of God. We believe every word is there on purpose and for a reason. So why is it not heareth instead of seeth? It's because he sees our heart when we're praying. We cannot. I mean, God created us. He created our mouths. He's heard the most, the greatest, or however you want to describe it. He has heard the best speeches throughout all the centuries. The greatest orators. The ones that can speak with the greatest diction or whatever those words are. It's not me, that's for sure. He's heard, you're not going to impress God with your words. He sees what's in your heart. That's what he rewards. Look what it says there. He says, in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore, like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I wonder what God thinks of some of our prayers. I wonder what God thinks about when the person who is being as the hypocrite talks about in verse number 5, standing on the street corner, up in the synagogues, praying as to himself. I wonder what he thinks of those prayers. God knows what we need already. So why do I need to ask him? We'll get to that in a little while. Then you see the model prayer, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And we're going to skip down to verse number 16, another spiritual discipline. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I would say in these verses, I believe God, in my opinion, is not seeing how much we give. Of course he knows that he's God. He's not seeing the fasting and seeing all the trials that we're going through as much as he is seeing the heart that is causing us to give, the heart that is encouraging us to pray, and the heart that is fasting so that we can seek God. So tonight, I think we would all say we all want the blessings of God. We all desire God's blessings, and it discourages us sometimes when we don't see him working. But I honestly believe the secret to open blessing is the secret life. It's what those things that we do in secret that God blesses. One preacher put it this way, if you ever see a church that seems blessed, it's very little to do with what actually takes place in the public meetings. I believe that what happens on the platform of the church has very little to do with the spiritual temperature of the church. It is what happens in the prayer meeting that makes the difference. It is happens in the prayer closet that drives the spiritual temperature of a church. If you see a family that has the blessing of God upon it, it's not because you have been able to train that child to act the exact way you think they should act at all times. Because you know what? People have different opinions. Some say, oh, just let them be kids and let them go run rampant. Others, boy, if they even just move, we should, you know, beat them. And everybody has different opinions of what this should look like. But if you see a family who loves the Lord and has God's blessing on it, it's not because the parents have done such a terrific job in training, as much as there's been someone in that person's life that got into a closet and prayed for that family and prayed for God's blessing. I truly believe that when it comes to families, it comes to our churches, when it comes to even an individual that seem like they have God's hand on them, we see the public blessings, but we don't understand that it's because they've been alone with the Lord. They've spent time with God. And I'm not talking about the people that are dressed always in religious garb, and they look, and some people who are not spiritually minded are looking at them and say, wow, there's a Christian, there's somebody. No, I'm talking about those who have spent time with God. You know they spent time with God because God is all over them, and they say things that are encouraging. They see Christ. I think it was Miss Stacy's song this morning. It talked about, do they see Jesus in you? Is that person that you see? And if a person seems like they have God's hand, or a family seems like God's hand, if it seems like a church has God's blessing on it, it's not the public display that is the blessings of God. It's what they've done in the private that God blesses. It's what they've done in the private that God rewards. And if we don't see the blessings, it's because the private life sometimes has been disregarded or not taken care of like it should. Now, you hear the terminology secret life, and most of us go and think, well, that person had a secret life. They had more than one wife or more than one husband, or they had this bank account that nobody knew about, or they watched things that no one else knew about and it came out. But that's not the secret. There's two sides of a secret life. That's wickedness that's hidden. But then there's also a secret life that David talks about, that secret place, and that you see in many of the believers' lives, that there was something different about them, that they understood that God was with them and they walked with God. I think about Enoch, and I'm sure Enoch's secret place was something that as he walked with and he talked with him as he was a friend, and as he walked with him, God said, hey, just come on up this time. Or the Abrahams, or the Davids, or the Daniels, or the Josephs, or the Mary of Bethany's, all these different characters. It's not because of an outward display of the things they'd done. It's because there was something about their relationship with God that came out, but it began first and foremost because of what they did in secret. They had that communion with God. And you see in verse number 8 where it says, your father knoweth that you have needs of before you even ask. And you're like, well, why do I need to even ask about that? And this is what we were going this morning in Sunday school and continued on in Sunday morning. It's not about getting our prayers answered. It's not about getting something from God. It's about getting someone. What do you mean? It's not just say, hey, I've got this from the Lord. It's about getting to God and actually understanding that when I spend time with him and when I speak to him and when I give and when I fast and I do these things in a way that I'm trying to seek after God, he is found and he blesses those things. He rewards them that diligently seek after him. Those who that see God for who he is, they believe, as it said in Hebrews chapter 11, 6, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. They believe that he's God. And it is in these secret times that we go and we seek after God. Yes, he sees all the good. He sees all the bad. He sees all the things we hang on doors. And I think that's good. He sees all the people we talk to. Let me say, it is much easier to preach than it is to pray. I know what some of you might say. I'm never going to get up in front of one person, much less 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, or 1,000 or thousands of people. No. To get up and speak and preach, it is a challenge for those who do not like public speaking. It's nothing compared to having the discipline to shut everything else out and get alone with God and get into the closet and shut the door and have a meaningful time with him, because that's what he blesses. That's what he rewards. And I want to encourage you to consider, as we're seeking after God, consider your ways and remember the greatest privilege in our life is that the Almighty God, creator of the universe, is inviting us to spend time with him. Can you imagine? He is saying, come. You can come boldly into the throne of grace. You, the creator God of the universe, says, I want to spend time with you, but we're too busy. I want to spend time with you, and I'm going to give you one-on-one attention, and it's amazing how God can do that. We want attention with this person, and we want attention with this star. We want attention with this public figure or this head or this person or that person, but we don't have time for God. We have reduced our Christian lives to what man sees. We have reduced Christianity to look at as long as I look good on the outside, everything else is okay. But the source that moves a church forward, the thing that God blesses, is those things that happen that no one else sees, or maybe just one or two in a prayer meeting, as they seek after God. What happens in the secret place is what pushes a church forward for the blessings of God. I think sometimes we've missed this. You look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to focus mostly on praying, just because that's what I'm praying, that God would grab a hold of our hearts, and he's grabbed a hold of my heart about the importance of praying. And as we begin to proceed to our Bible conference, look what it says in verse number 6. It says, when thou prayest. Look what it's, verse number 5, excuse me. And when thou prayest. Look what it says in verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest. When it says in verse number 7, but when ye pray. You know what it does? That is saying, the Lord assumes that we're going to pray. If we're truly going to say that we're seeking after the Lord, one of our expressions, if not our greatest expression, is the time we spend with him in prayer. This convicts me. When I hear Dr. John R. Rice say, all your prayers are failure, prayer, all your failures are prayer failures, it makes me remind that prayer is something that many of us fail at. The only thing that we are told to do without ceasing is pray. He doesn't say go to church without ceasing. Thankful for that, right? I like church, but I know not everybody's going to want to be here every single day. I know next week when we do 8 days in a row, that's a challenge for some, but I think the Lord's going to bless, and we're trying to seek the Lord. He doesn't tell us to do this without ceasing, or do this without ceasing, or do this without ceasing. He says, pray without ceasing. Your prayer life is truly a barometer of what your Christian life is. Every area of your Christian life flows from your prayer life. If we would give a little bit more attention what it looks like in here than what it looks like out there, talking about in front of man, I believe that we would see God's blessings a little bit more. Everybody wants the product. We like to clean up for God. We like to clean up. We look good for church. We like to do this right and do this right and do that right. Everybody wants the product, but no one wants the process it takes to get the rewards from God. One preacher put it this way. We clean up good for church, but don't you think that there's something missing? Something of the power and dynamic of that first century church that is sorely lacking? Could it be that we have forsaken the fountain of what provides that power? We have forsaken the fountain of what causes the blessings of God, because we don't spend time in the secret place. Everybody wants the blessings of God, but are we seeking the blesser? The Bible says, as we talked about this morning, the young lions do lack and suffer for hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We're not going to be in want or need of anything that is good for us. Matthew 6:8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for the Father knoweth what things you have need of them before you ask them. So how do we get really close to God? How do we begin to understand what God wants and what God's going to provide for us? Because it's that secret place. It's being alone with him. Now, you look what it says in verse number 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. I know what the first thing that we think about that word hypocrite, it kind of causes us to cringe. And we're thinking, man, I hate those hypocrites. But I wonder if we would not consider our own ways and say, you know what? Maybe I'm that hypocrite. Maybe I'm that one that pretends that I've spent time in the secret place. But I know deep in my heart, there's something lacking and there's something missing because I haven't spent the time I should. And it shows in my actions, it shows in my life, but I just like to play it off for something else. It's so easy to think that everyone else needs to get right with God, and if everyone else would get right with God, our church would be blessed, our families would be blessed, our country would be blessed. And we even hear preaching like that. How many times we say, boy, I wish so-and-so would be here because of the fact they really need to hear this or they really need to hear that. But the reality is, when we look at ourselves, He says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't put on a mask. He says, make sure you take care of your own secret place. Couple thoughts. God blesses private prayer more than public prayer. God blesses private prayer more than public prayer. Okay, so what do you get from there? He says, do you think public prayer is wrong? I do not. Every Saturday morning, we have a group of men that come and we pray. And we break up and we pray in groups of two, maybe sometimes three, if there's an odd number. And then there's a group of 8 to 12 that pray all together. Could you imagine coming to a church and never hearing a prayer? You know, we begin the service of praying, and we pray over the offering, and many times we pray before the message, and sometimes, most of the time, we pray at the end of the message. And I don't want to ever do those things just for show. I really don't. I really, truly want us to seek the blessing of God. But that public prayers are things that it's talking about here. What do the hypocrites do? Look what it says in verse number 5. Look at the locations. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. You say, what do you mean by praying in the synagogues? It's sort of like if you were called up front to say, hey, come on up and pray in a church service. A synagogue is something that you would consider a place where they go and they learned and they heard teaching and they heard preaching. It's similar to the church. Now, you say the temple, yes, we have the temple of the Holy Spirit within us. So the temple is a place where they did sacrifice. Now, we do not do public sacrifices here, but we do hear the preaching and teaching. So here at the synagogues, they would call on someone, maybe like we would call on someone to pray. And they would when they called on someone, and then we call on individuals. I called on Mr. Barry this morning to pray. And, you know, it's the idea that they come and they love to pray out loud. They love praying in the synagogue. And I appreciate Mr. Barry and the other men that when I call them to pray, it's not because they're seeking it. I've never had anyone come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, I want to pray out loud. Can you let me pray? Never had anybody ask me that. I've had a few people come to me and say, I'd rather not pray out loud because of their personalities or other reasons that please don't call me to do public praying. I remember as a teenage boy, they used to train ushers. And as a teenage boy, I was an usher sometimes. And I was there and they would call on the ushers to pray. And I remember sometimes that Pastor Barry would call on me to pray. And they had the guys come up here and ask the Lord's blessing behind the pulpit. And, you know, as a teenager, I thought that was really, really neat. I hadn't spent hardly any time in the secret place, to be honest with you, but I just thought that was cool. I thought it was something that was neat. I got to pray in church, and I had a couple of those men try to encourage me. I had Bob Boyle used to say, hey, I heard you pray. It sounds like you've done that before. And he was one of my Sunday school teachers, and he would encourage me with things. Make sure you're praying in private, because when you pray publicly, it should come from a private time that you've had with him. You spent time with the Lord, and as you pray and lead others in prayer, I don't have a problem with public praying. I think public praying is good, but I truly believe, as you see here, it must be done for the right reasons. There must be time. It says in verse number 6 that you go into your closet, into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And the public prayers is something that should comes from a growing out of our private praying. When we come, we should pray for God. We should not pray to be seen of men. As it says in verse number 5, he says, in the synagogues, and they say that they may be seen of men. And I would encourage us to think about this, that when you hear someone pray and you are impressed by their prayer, they have impressed you, the question is, have they impressed God? We do not pray to be seen of men. And sometimes you hear people and they say, that person really knows how to pray. Okay, they may know how to speak, but do they know how to get a hold of God? It's the question. I remember I've told you before the story about Cherith Otteson's dad and getting up in church and I was just a late teenage boy and getting up during our prayer time and we have this at the end of our Wednesday night church service, and someone comes up and they pray for 3 or 4 minutes or however long the lead. This guy prayed for 20, maybe 30 minutes, and people were going uneasy. and it's because it was an outflow, and he would never, such a humble man, Gene Stevens is his name, and it was an outflow of something that happened private time. And that day when he prayed, he spoke to God. He didn't care about anybody else sitting in out there. He wasn't trying to impress the deacons or his family or a Sunday school class, or the visitors. He was speaking to the Lord. And when we pray outwardly, and when we pray in a group, I think it's important that we worship the Lord, and it is something that is done outwardly. You see where it says not only in the synagogues, it talks about in the corners of the streets. Say, what does it mean? Are they out there, like, instead of street preaching, are they street praying? Back in Bible times, they would have different times that were scheduled for prayer. Remember, Daniel went and opened up the windows. And I believe the times were 9, 12, and 3, that they would stop where they were at and they would pray. And so they would situate themselves to be right in the corner, and they would lift their voice loudly, and they would pray, and they would pray to try to impress the people to be seen of men. We have based our Christianity, and we have boiled it down, as long as other people think I'm okay, then everything's okay. But the reality is, the blessing that God offers comes from that secret place. Getting alone with Him. Getting and spending time alone with Him. We should be thinking about what God thinks about how we pray. We think working on the outside that somehow is going to change the inside, but God wants us to work from the inside and changes the outside. So that's why he says in verse number 5, hey, don't be like the hypocrites that stand in the synagogues and pray in the church and that stand in the corners of the street. He says, this is what I want you to do. And you have your reward if you do those things. But in verse number 6, this is what I reward is when it's not the synagogues or the corners of the street. Do you think God could bless those prayers in the synagogues? Of course we do. That's why we pray. But it's when it's an outward flowing of the inward time we've already spent with God, and we're seeking God's blessing as a group and we're leading in prayer. But that comes after what it says in verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If we want the blessings of God, he moves it to the closet and he says, this is the spot that I can bless. I can exhibit it outwardly and reward it openly when we spend time with Him privately. God's more interested in our inward praying. God's more interested in that secret place praying than He is in what we do outwardly. If I've spent more time praying out loud in front of other people than I have spent with God alone, there is a big problem. But how many times have we been and done so much that we don't take time to pray? Okay, next thing. There's two different things. These are two main points and we'll be done. First one, God blesses prayer, private prayer more than public prayer. And I want you to understand that nothing wrong with public prayer, but it should be an outflowing of something that is the inward and private time. And it should be something that is done in a way that is for God's eyes, not for ours. God's ears. But he says he sees it. Why is that? Because he sees our heart. So if God sees the good and God sees the bad, but don't forget, he sees the heart that causes the good and causes the bad. That's what he's interested in. Next thing is, God blesses what he sees more than what we say. God blesses what he sees more than what we say. Think about it. Most of us like to jump to verse number 9. There's a mechanics, there's a teaching the prayer, there's a model prayer. They want to get to the spot, let's pray. But before he ever gets to, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He says, after you've learned what it means to meet with God privately and get this down, that it is a private, secret time that God is going to bless. This is the prayer time that God is going to bless. Now let me teach you how to pray. Realize it's about the secret place. Now let me show you after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Make it something that is personal. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. As I mentioned earlier, it would just make more sense if it said that he heareth. But does God hear our prayers? Yes. Does God hear everything? He does. He hears every prayer that we've ever offered. But he sees our heart. That's what carries the weight. That is what makes the difference. It's just not his ear that is open, his eyes are open. The emphasis in not saying the right words, as I mentioned earlier, you're not going to impress God with the right words. We got the right prayer. Sometimes people say, well, we need to call on this guy to pray. He knows really how to pray. He may know how to talk. He may know how to say an address that would inspire people. Sometimes we have acting. Tonight we're going to start practicing for the Christmas play, and we want people to say things that can be understood. We want people to speak loudly. I don't know how many times as a younger preacher I've had people say, God, talk louder, God, talk louder. Pastor Thompson even used to, before I got up to preach, he says, make sure you speak up. And I understand that. And even sometimes would have it at the top of my notes, you know, get louder. You know, so some people, and even still today, some people say, hey, you need to speak a little bit louder. And I have other people, well, why are you yelling at us? So it's sort of like the weather thing. You know, some people got blankets on. Other people are fanning themselves. You know, you're just not going to make everybody happy. But at the same time, it comes to this moment in time is it's not about saying the right words. It's about having the right heart. I remember hearing the story of a famous person had passed away, and they were having their service, their funeral. They asked this well-known actor, this great orator, to get up and say something. And then the preacher was coming afterwards. The orator gets up and he says Psalms 23. And he says it in a way that is so descriptive, and everyone's hanging on every single word. Actually says after he got done, they applauded his performance. Can you imagine the middle of a funeral after reading Psalms 23? They applauded it. The preacher got up afterwards and he says, I didn't know what the other man's passage was. He says, but I've chosen the same passage. And it said as he preached, or as he read it, he did it with tears. And he spoke in such a way that was moving. The whole audience, sure, not everyone, but there was tears in their eyes. After the funeral, someone came up to the actor and said to the actor, what was the difference? He said, I knew the passage. He knew the shepherd. He said, I knew what needed to be said to impress people. He said, he knew the shepherd personally in a way that I never, ever knew him. And when it comes to our prayer time, people can impress others. When we pray, we're not trying to impress God. We're seeking the blessing of God. So consider your ways tonight. What does your secret place look like? Say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray like that. And Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us of our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit of God knows what we're trying to say from our heart. The truest prayer is not just saying the right things. I do not believe that's it. It is bearing our soul before God, a God who already knows and sees your heart. And he knows as you enter that secret place, if you're truly seeking after him because you love him and because you desire him. It's not about getting something out of him. It's not about pulling some blessings away from him. It's about getting him, the blesser, getting to God, the one who is more than enough. The emphasis is on what God sees. It's amazing that there are times when we want God to see us. It's amazing that there are times when we're going through struggles and we're praying and we're saying, God, I want you to see what I'm going through. Can you not see what's happening in my life? God, fix this. But then there's other times in our lives where we just want to kind of hide. We want to be like that three-year-old standing behind that really small tree or telephone pole, and you can see both sides of him, and they're giggling, and there's like, and you're playing along. Well, I can't see you. Where are you at? And you see him the whole entire time. You cannot hide from God, and you cannot get God to see something different than what's already in your heart. It's already there. Do you desire him? Do you want him? Are you spending time in that secret place because you want God's blessings? Sin is rampant. It has divided families. It has divided our churches. It has divided and destroyed our communities. It has destroyed and corrupted our nation. But have we gone and spent time in the place that God can bless and the place that God rewards? We can all make ourselves look good, but have we done something that God has his eye on? The secret place. This is a poem that I enjoyed. It's found in that book. We hadn't gone through it in Sunday school, but it's found in the Revival Prayings book. It's from a Canadian preacher and missionary. It says statesman A.B. Simpson. It's called Himself. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Once was painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once a half salvation, now the uttermost. Once 'twas ceaseless holding, now he holds me fast. Once 'twas constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Once 'twas busy planning, now 'tis trustful prayer. Once 'twas anxious caring, now he has the care. Once 'twas what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once 'twas constant asking, now 'tis ceaseless praise. And I like this stanza the best. Once it was my working, his it hence shall be. Once I try to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Once for self I labor, now for him alone. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know he's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now his coming hail. And my hopes are anchored, safe within the veil. I think if we would learn that our goal should be him, to be like him, that he is everything that we need. The secret things belong to God. Do you know why some people don't want to pray? And I'll finish with this. It's because when you pray, you get down to the nitty-gritty. You have to stop being what you say you are. You have to stop being what others think that you are. And you have to be what God knows you are. That's not original with me, but it really spoke to my heart. If we get in that secret place alone with God, we have to come to this moment in time and we say, God, I'm not who I pretend to be. God, I'm not who everybody else thinks I am. God, I know I am what you know that I am. And I need your help. Would you please help me? Because for everybody else, it's okay because they think we're fine because we dress up good. And we can say, hey, yes, I'm right with the Lord. I'm good. There's no problems. There's no this. There's no that. But when we strip away everything, and that's what prayer does, it strips away all the pretenses because we're coming to a God who sees what we're saying, whether it's true or not. And he's saying, God, I agree with you. I am a dirty, rotten sinner, and I need your help. God, whatever you say about me, I'm going to agree because you're God. I can't play with you. I cannot act with you. That's what the secret place looks like. And it's a beautiful place to be when we're alone with him, honest with him. Those are the prayers that not only he hears, he sees our heart. You say, well, where's the power in the church? The moving power that moves the church is the power that comes from the secret place. The power that places God's hand of blessing on a life, on our family, and a church is when those seek him diligently. That's what he rewards. So tonight, remember, God sees, not just hears, what is done in the secret place. Let's pray.